Hey, you want that to go?
So some day after Thanksgiving news takeouts now. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is here, Takeaway Sports contributor. We suggested that football allows people to avoid fights at the dinner table yesterday. There's not going to be much of a fight about the fact that the Giants pretty much stink.
The Giants
as a football team. Give us the scores from yesterday.
Okay, so basically this is how it went down. The early game was Detroit versus the Detroit Lions versus the Green Bay Packers. And that game, well, let's see. That was not so good. Green Bay Packers 34, the Lions 12. It started off great for the Lions.
Yeah, they looked really good at the
beginning.
They
got a fumble. The Green Bay Packers fumbled on the first kickoff. The Lions came. They scored. Matthew Stafford was in the game. It was like a big surprise. But they played like the typical selves. The thing to remember is Matthew Stafford is playing very similarly to Troy Aikman when he was a rookie in his first
right.
year. So he's got a lot of promise. He's got all these tools around him. They're young, but he's not playing that great. He had 4 interceptions. The second game
is in the future.
Exactly, yes. In the future. So Dallas Cowboys against the Oakland Raiders. The Cowboys won 27-7. The Cowboys are looking good. They're 8-3 right now. They're on top of the NFC East, and they look like poised to be America's team this year. What they were able to do in this game was have a 4-man rush on the quarterback. That means they can drop back the rest of their defenders into pass coverage, and it means that causes problems for the offense of the other team. They have guys coming at them that are about to sack them, and they don't know who to throw to.
Although we should say the Raiders aren't exactly the best test.
I was just about to say
test.
That. That's not really
that
impressive.
The Raiders aren't the best test of the Cowboys' power here, even though they did improve their record in the NFC East.
The Raiders had an amazing game last week. The Raiders, their stock is on the rise.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You heard it first here.
The last game, the Denver Broncos beat the hapless New York Giants 26-6. And it breaks my heart. I'm a Giants fan, and I'll say this. The last time the Giants were really any good was when they won the Super Bowl. After that, they really haven't played very good football. They have the curse of Plaxico Burress that's in full effect. He's sitting in a penitentiary somewhere with his head in his hands, crying and weeping and wondering what he did to ruin the lives of New Yorkers. Most New York sports fans are waiting for April 4th, which is when baseball season begins.
Of course, Plaxico Burress, the receiver who made the major catch there in the Super Bowl for the Giants, and he shot himself in the leg and is now in jail.
So then this weekend, we have a couple big games. Indianapolis Colts versus the Houston Texans and the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Baltimore Ravens. Those are going to be some really interesting games, and those are the ones that I would advise you checking out, particularly because with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Big Ben has suffered his fourth concussion. The quarterback, he suffered his fourth concussion in 4 years. That's more than many players.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back from a concussion.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks so much.
Well, let's go to Louise Story now, Wall Street and Finance reporter for the New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Morning.
So we're going to talk about something mystical, something secret and magical, something that lies at the edges of our understanding, right?
But you're making this sound really positive because you're talking about how it's magical, and the truth is that derivatives, we don't know if they're positive or negative because we know very little about them. What we do know is derivatives are a huge part of the market. You know, just J.P. Morgan alone, just that bank, has contracts for almost $100 trillion of these, and they bring huge profits to the banks. The banks don't report how much profit comes from derivatives, but the word on the street this year was that J.P. Morgan made about $5 billion in profit on derivatives last year, even during the financial crisis.
You're on a phone line down there, Louise. Did you say 100 trillion?
Yes.
Well, these are things that are traded invisibly, right? How come we don't have more clarity on the business of trading derivatives?
So this is at the heart of some of the regulatory reform efforts in Washington right now. There are provisions in the bills that the House has proposed saying that we should have more transparency with derivatives. But the banks are fighting this. They're saying that liquidity would dry up if we knew what was trading and how much was being paid for. Right now, no one knows how much companies and cities are paying for derivatives contracts that help them hedge interest rate risk or foreign exchange risk. No one knows. And the interesting thing is that the banks, a number of their customers, like 3M and Caterpillar, a number of manufacturing customers, have now started lobbying for what the banks want, which is a lack of transparency. Those customers are saying, Well, we're afraid if you make it more transparent, it will get more expensive for us. So we don't want that, which is a bit odd given that in every other part of the market that's gone more transparent, like corporate bonds went a lot more transparent about 10 years ago. That has led to a price reduction for customers. It's made them more inexpensive for corporate customers like the Caterpillars of the world. And what it's done is it's cut into the bank profits. So a lot of people are watching this, seeing it as something the banks want to protect their own profits.
Basically, when you're trading a derivative, you're not trading the actual asset itself that underlies all of this.
That's right. So derivative, the reason we call it a derivative is its value is derived from something
else.
From something else, right. So
So have they explained why knowing about these trades would decrease their value, decrease the liquidity?
So it's interesting. We had the president of the Association for Derivatives into the New York Times office on Tuesday, and we really kind of grilled him on this. And what he said was, if you had more transparency on the prices, he said, then fewer banks would be willing to offer these, and so there would be less liquidity in the market. There would be less places. There would be fewer places for companies to go to get these. And we kind of looked at him and said, listen, if you can make it a profit at all, then presumably someone will offer these products. That's what a market is for.
Right. Okay, Louise Story is the Wall Street and Finance reporter for the New York Times, joining us from Washington, talking about derivatives, secret derivative trading.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.